Level up with Dr. Leyland. Step into the future, the world is waiting now. Dreams are in the making, we'll show you how. From the books to the screen, from the stage to the stars. Level up your game, let's raise the bar. Innovation, inspiration, it's in our DNA. Breaking through the limits, we're paving the way. Level up, reach the sky, take the lead, don't be shy. Your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up will be heard, building a legacy with every word. From podcasts to pages, from business to art, Level Up's the place where it all can start. With heart and with vision, we're chasing every goal. Together we'll ignite the fire in your soul. Level up, reach the sky, take the lead, don't be shy. Your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up Academy, it's your time. Oh, it's your time. At Level Up Academy, we rise and climb.
How are you doing? Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad that you guys are here. Happy Wednesday. It is midweek, right? Don't look back on Monday, especially if your Monday wasn't so hot or productive. Yesterday, well, it's kind of a, you know, at the end of Monday, right? Tuesday. And then today, it's like, okay, it's a new week coming up. We're in the midweek. It's going to be a new week soon. Okay, maybe not so soon in 5 days, but this week is a special week because it is February 14th. That's part of my commitment to our community to Level Up. I am part of Confronting Domestic Violence as part of their board member. We are committed to providing information. Today, I'm going to ask you if you could register. It is tomorrow, Thursday at 10:30 a.m., right after my TV show. It's Stalker Awareness Month as well. Right? We want healthy hearts and healthy futures. Just having and starting that conversation about what does real love look like in your life? And what does trauma look like in your life? How did it start? We want to be proactive for our young girls. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, a grandparents, right? An aunt, an uncle, a cousin. This is your way to create within our community. You could be anonymous. You don't have to turn on your video. You can just turn on your sound. Just having those conversations where moving forward the conversations on the healthy side, right? Of course, there's going to be trauma. You can share your trauma with us, but we would like to know more about how you got out of those situations so that when we have conversations with high school students, especially women and girls, how to look at certain cues to look forward to that it could lead them to not so healthy hearts, right? And it's all about healing in our community as well as thriving, no longer surviving. But hey, let's be honest, we're surviving inflation, okay? Like, for real. My wallet is trying to survive in that inflation. But right now, I mean, it is a month of love, so I am loving my community. So here it is, your chance to engage with confronting domestic violence. Remember, the founder is our fearless leader, Agape. And my partner in crime, it's Nicole. Okay, so we're actually doing it with you guys tomorrow. I also wanted to let you know that this anthology we just started, if you are into writing your legacy, please join us. And this is me. I said, my story is my legacy. My word is my voice. My path is my power. My message is my promise. My vision is my impact, and my adversity turn into purpose. My dream is my foundation. The truth is my strength. My journey is my mark, and my voice is my freedom. Let us show the world what our legacy is through our voice, our power, our impact, our purpose, our foundation, our strength, our mark, and our freedom. So hopefully you'll join us. If not, go ahead and join us and support us. Definitely. Next month, you will have your book by end of March. Speaking of that, I also wanted to amplify. You guys know me. I amplify everywhere. That's why I'm a publicity queen for a reason, right? I have a magazine. I am actually very specific. I'm only looking for 10 individuals. Well, 9. Because I usually highlight myself within that. But this magazine is about disrupt and dominate. And I actually talked about this last Sunday with disrupting and dominating in leadership with faith, right? And so this one is showcasing, I will be writing your information. I have questionnaires about how you are disrupting and dominating your domain market or your industry or your community, right? And so when you are talking about your messages, you need to be everywhere. So this magazine actually is going to be on my website, obviously, but it has between 50 to 100,000 people. And also followership is about almost 200,000 people. So you will be on Instagram. And maybe, I don't know yet, maybe I usually have a freebie. You also will get a sponsorship at the end. So you can put your logo in there or your LinkedIn because it's clickable. So it's physical and also online because I'm old school. Like, yeah, it's nice that it's online, but I want a physical form to see what they've written about me. So this is the new magazine coming out next month as well. So if you are interested, let me know and we will talk and we shall see how you are disrupting and dominating your industry. All right. And then talking about another academic publishing. I know I am so crazy this month. there's a lot going on. I'm doing academic publishing. This one I'm super proud. I only do this once every 2 to 3 years because it is intense. If you have a master's degree, that's my requirement. You cannot have lower than a master's degree. Actually, I only take PhD, but I know it sounds so weird, right? But it is academic publishing. So master's degree in any capacity, we are going to publish a manuscript. I am not the publisher on this one. It is in academic publishing and it's in 61 countries, including China and Japan. And let me tell you, in academics, China and Japan do not accept books from everywhere and anywhere, just nilly-willy. But the publisher has that. And they have about 2 million, I think, in terms of followership and readership and all that. But here's the thing, you only do the English and they will convert it to German, French, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese. What does that mean to you? You don't have to write anything this year. You have in this manuscript and guess what? You already have 6 books just this year alone. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I do cool things like that in my community because I am networked in the academic and publishing world. All right. Let's see, what else do we have for you? So my Mike to Millions, I am committed to Mike to Millions. I wrote this book, actually it was in a bestseller in Amazon. It is 50% off because I want to make sure that you can encourage to market or also have your own voice, right, on podcasting. And yes, that is my family. Do you see my little short stuff? I'm in the middle. This is Ozzy Osbourne. We met them in October in person. My husband's on the right side. That's Kelly Osbourne. My oldest daughter, me in the middle, Jack. hit their son, and then my youngest daughter, and of course the Aussies, right? And CJ, why do you have this picture? Because I was talking to Sharon Osborne, and she literally said, I think podcasting is really cool. That's when a lot of people get their messages out, right? So I said, yeah, you're right. So I was encouraged to post that. That is the reason why. And here's all my socials if you need to. We did have Against the Grain already. So, I mean, 18 books so far, 18 books, notebooks, not including my magazines that I have published in the last 2 years. And then I'm going to add 10 this year, maybe 12. I don't know. I know I'm grasping for craziness this year, but for sure, 10 books, 4 anthologies and the 6 from academics, right? So that's going to be almost 30 books in the last 3 years that I will be writing. So maybe by the end of my life, I can do 70 books. I don't know. That's the goal. That's the goal. 71. All right, guys. So are you guys ready for you know who? I don't know. Are you? I don't know. Are you? Guess who's going to be here today? Ta-da! Me, myself, and I. No. Let's take a look how many people are watching us so far. 610. All right. Thank you, YouTube. Thank you for coming in. 600 of you. I know you're driving right now. Some of you are probably sleeping, listening to me. Some of you are driving taxis. Some of you are driving your children to work, wherever you are, especially in Asia. Welcome. Good evening. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are, all right? I'm so thankful for you. But before I introduce Kevin, I want you to watch this video that's created by him. It's about 3 minutes or so. So let's go ahead and check it out. Are you guys ready? Let's go. All right. So let's see if I can actually play it and you guys can hear it.
Can a random act of kindness spawn a worldwide movement? Yes, it can. When a wallet was returned just moments after it was lost, a purpose was found. This one act of kindness inspired the formation of the nonprofit Kindness Worldwide, with a vision to inspire a culture of kindness in communities throughout the world. Our signature initiative, Kindness Week Worldwide, launched in York, Pennsylvania, saw the entire community mobilized to celebrate kindness in many forms. Kindness Week featured initiatives and playbook programs, including blood drives, kindness cards, K-12 and college students embracing kindness, acts of service and charity, as well as an innovative means of community policing, kindness citations. York Police Commissioner Michael Muldrow personally took to the streets in search of York citizens helping each other through kindness.
It's time to kick off Kindness Week. We're going to be writing citations, but we're going to be writing citations for the good stuff that people are saying around the community. Everything that you do for this community is important, it's impactful, and it's necessary. And I just want you to know that you're appreciated. So you had to be the first person to be issued a kindness citation.
I appreciate it, for real.
This movement that was inspired by a single act of kindness has begun to spread through communities all across our nation, and led us to the World Kindness Movement 11th General Assembly in Palermo, Italy, where delegates from 40 nations across the globe came together, unified in their call to action to government officials worldwide and the United Nations to embrace our vision of creating a worldwide culture of kindness. From Pennsylvania to Maryland and California to Greece, Australia, and beyond, the movement has already begun. We invite you to join this powerful and important movement inspired by kindness worldwide.
We have weeks, even months, to celebrate broadly many things. Why not the same for kindness? So I call on and welcome every elected official, mayor, commissioner, supervisor, chancellor, governor, prime minister, and president of every community, state, province, region, and country in the world to do it. Let's elevate kindness to the global shared value that represents all of humanity. I also urge the United Nations to show its leadership support. Despite our differences, Can't every member nation at least agree on the need for humanity to stand on a shared platform that connects us? Kindness is that platform. So vote. It's one unanimous vote our world expects. There's no reason not to, and every reason we must. One kind act, followed by another, one person, and one community at a time. That's how we change the world. And that's the vision of Kindness Worldwide. So let's strive to be the reason someone believes in the goodness of people. In each and every moment, in each and every interaction, in each and every day. If we do, our world will be forever changed. As we do, be mindful and grateful. Let's use the power we possess to be the change we wish to see in the world. Together, let's change the world.
Are you guys ready to change the world? I know Kevin's gonna change my world. I wanna be ambassador for good and for kindness for sure and compassion. We all are going through a lot. I know I don't look sick because makeup does that to you, but I feel like crap. But here's the thing. My mind and my heart is so strong to stay resolute on where my time is spent. My time is gonna be spent on people who are spreading kindness. And none other than, are you guys ready? Wait, where is my, hold on one second, Kevin. My music, it's gonna come on. Gotta bring the music.
Level up, it's time to rise, unlock your potential, reach for the skies, transform pain to purpose, find clarity and stride. With Dr. Leyland leading, we stand side by side. Collaboration fuels us, together we thrive at Level Up Academy. Your dreams come alive.
Hi, Kevin, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
Good. I am so, like, my heart is so full of love right now, and I can feel your determination, right? I think a lot of people, especially at Hounds of Business Community, and we have Hounds of Business Community here, I'm sure of it. I had to go look at the messages. But right now I have a lot of global people watching us. I usually will have a lot of Asia and United States and some South America and Africa watching us, India especially as well. I want actually to get to know you first before we switch to what you're doing, okay? So my first question is always this. Think back 20 years ago and find within your timeline some of the significant changes in your life that got you here where you are today.
Well, I'm certainly a product of my upbringing. I just had a loving family. My mom was my everything. My granddad was my mentor, and we're shaped, I think, by those childhood experiences and values. So I'm the person I am today because of them. I mean, the truth is, I'm just an ordinary guy who was touched by the actions of an ordinary woman who did an extraordinary thing. She was kind, and I've always lived my life shaped by my upbringing with a value system in that. You know, I believe the meaning of a life is to live it in a way to make a meaningful difference. And I've applied that value system throughout my life and my career. By day, I'm a wealth advisor. I help clients translate their monetary resources into meaningful life experiences, which is very meaningful to me, to help them maybe leave a legacy, support their families, provide for their children and grandchildren, give them promising futures, retire comfortably, whatever it may be. And then just through fate and circumstances, I was a beneficiary of an extraordinary act of kindness on Good Friday morning, 2023. And just my innocent attempt to simply say thank you to a young woman in a more meaningful way who did a wonderful thing for me, it took on a life of its own. It became so much more. It became about making a meaningful difference more broadly. And that all, of course, led me inspire me to form the nonprofit Kindness Worldwide, which has a vision to create a culture of kindness in communities throughout the world. So it's been an adventure of a lifetime. It's really been an indescribable adventure of a lifetime. I'll do my best to touch on some of the highlights, but I think, you know, again, my upbringing those experiences and the value system really shaped who I am today and really what I'm in the midst of trying to do for all of us. It's not my journey, it's our journey.
I love that. It is our upbringing that actually kind of push us through, whether trouble or goodness, right? Like, it goes both ways, really. So I wanted to, first of all, thank you for coming here, right? Thank you for It's Love Month. And then Mike is here. You're going to be with Mike today as well at 7 p.m. Eastern or 4 p.m. Pacific, my time, since I'm in California. Where are you right now?
I'm in York, Pennsylvania, Eastern Standard Time. So it's a little bit past noon, going on 12:30 here.
Yeah. So Mike is here. Shonda is here. Danielle is here. Susanna and Louis. So thank you, HOB. I know HOB is really always busy here. Sister Lisa is also here. And I love having her here as well. So I wanted to actually kind of deep think about what is this one. Is kindness a universal value, or is it culturally relative? How do you define kindness?
Well, I would define kindness as love in action. And I think it is the universal language that everyone understands. It transcends borders, cultures, distances, languages, differences in time. It's the one thing that truly unites us all, that I think our world needs more of. And, you know, I think ultimately, I would argue that kindness is the world's greatest superpower. I believe it represents the most significant source of untapped positive energy reserves on the planet. We each have that power within us, and it simply requires a choice for us to exercise it. And most do not know it exists, but I've experienced the transformative power of kindness firsthand. I know that the effect of a simple act of kindness, how it's had on me, the ripple effects that continue to endure to this day. And the truth is that any one of us has a power to be that ripple to start a wave. And so definitely without question, kindness is love in action, but it truly is a superpower.
I think so too. And I grappled on this conversation, right, around kindness last night. So I kind of really think about, is it culturally universal? Because it is through action, right? And some cultures' actions are different than others. Some are more silent. Some are more very out there. So with our culture today, it's so funny. It's not funny, but it's actually scary that when you see someone getting beat up on the street, you'd rather tape it, go on live, then help the person. That's the kind of society that we're living in. Because if you help and you hurt someone, we've seen the repercussion of you going to jail because you're trying to help and you actually hurt someone to defend someone, right? So I feel like the culture of kindness is necessary, but it looks different for different people. So my question is, does true kindness require anonymity, or is it publicized kindness just as a valuable? How do you see that fit?
Well, I think, you know, kindness is definitely a strength. And unfortunately, I think there's so many stories of the transformative power of kindness that we often don't hear about and we don't read about. Because I think our news media in general has a mindset that if it bleeds, it leads. I believe that we should have a new paradigm. I believe if it's good, it should. And so if you turn on the news, you can't help but sometimes be conditioned to take on a jaded view of the world and see the world through a lens that's largely half empty instead of half full. I mean, that was certainly, you know, my world before Good Friday morning, 2023. I'd watch the news a lot and I'd be frustrated by all the things happening and you feel powerless to do anything about it. And then you start to get to a point where you just accept it. I mean, who am I to do anything about it? And you just take this, you know, see the world through a lens that's half empty instead of half full. But you know, when this act of kindness occurred, it essentially snapped me out of a subconscious trance. And it made me realize, no, the good's the norm, the bad's the exception. Yes, bad things happen, but it's still the exception not the norm. There's good and kindness all around us. We just need to open our eyes to see it. But I think over time, we often get conditioned, and our behaviors and so on are often affected by our environments. But if you think about the innocence of a child, it's unlike any other. I think about, you know, certain regions of the world like the Middle East, right? I mean, Israeli newborn or a Palestinian newborn or any regions of the world where there's a lot of tension, do they know anything other than love? They don't. It's pure. It's innocent. But over time, I think through external factors, influences, the news, upbringing, they get shaped in a way that conditions them, I think, to see differences and to, in some cases, it leads to hate. And that's still the exception, not the norm. But I've learned that, and I truly believe this, I believe every human being is born inherently good. I truly believe that. And that good is within each and every one of us. Sometimes it gets overshadowed by darkness, but we can bring it out again. And I think we shouldn't overlook the fact that, look, if we can condition animus, because an innocent child, you know, a newborn child, they know no animus. They know only joy. So animus and hate is conditioned behavior. Well, if we can condition animus, we can also condition kindness and love, which is the natural behavior. And that gets into what we see, what we watch, what we read, doing our part to focus on what we can control. We can control our own behaviors. We can't control anyone else's, but how we respond to difficult situations, that's within our control. And so when someone is quote unquote unkind, you know, I can choose my response to that, and I can escalate a situation. I can respond in a kind way, or at least in a way that de-escalates and not as, you know, diffuses tensions instead of escalate them. So again, I've always been an optimist at heart, but sometimes it's hard to see the good when there's so much negativity around us, but it's there, and it's a choice that we all have within us.
It is a choice. So this sister right here from another mister, you probably, I don't know if you've heard of Susanna. She's my partner in crime and my bestie in publishing for sure. And Danielle is my heart sister, and I call her heart sister because she, when we come with, sometimes we're frustrated with the systems that we're working with on a project, and she always comes up with, let's just be kind and let's just give more love to people because maybe they didn't have love today, or maybe they've never experienced kindness in their life. And I think that is the culture that I also want, and I love this conversation. It's because when someone hasn't seen what it looks like to have kindness within you or for you, it's hard to relate, right? When you've never eaten certain things and people talk about it, you can say, but you've never experienced it. So how can you actually truly relate? So I think kindness is something that sometimes simple, a smile, right? Having you on podcast, giving your messages, writing with somebody, even just sitting with someone while they're venting. Those are kindness. Those are time that you can't rewind, but you're there for that someone, right? So I love that. I'm going to share something. Actually, hold on one second. Let me stop this one. And I want to share Kevin's LinkedIn. Ooh, we're snooping. We're snooping on Kevin. Well,
I'll forewarn you, you're going to see a lot of love and kindness on it.
I love it. I'm gonna share Kevin's linked soon for LinkedIn, guys. But tell us about this. What is this about?
Yeah, so this is, I had breakfast yesterday morning with a local radio personality legend, Gary Sutton, and he exudes nothing but kindness. And he's, a very well-known talk radio host. And so, after our breakfast, I had him connect hands and shape a heart. And this is actually part of a global kindness activation of Kindness Worldwide. Has a number of ambassadors all throughout the world. One is Robin Simpson in Australia. And we were talking about how can we create a campaign that can go viral, that can actually, you know, connect people throughout the world and shape hearts literally and figuratively. And she did some research, and she came up with a campaign called Heart Hands for Kindness. And basically what it is that, you know, we're trying to connect with others. Sometimes I think with the pandemic and, you know, sometimes we lose track of the importance of connection, right? We're all social creatures, and we're all very isolated during the pandemic, and that has implications, but just connecting with others. And so the campaign essentially entails, you know, forming a heart. You know, obviously you can put your hands together and do that on your own and shape a heart. And that's very powerful. But how powerful is it when we connect with others and do the same thing? And then we post about it and we share it and invite others to do the same. And we can kind of create this global chain that spreads and create a movement. And I did it a couple of days ago, actually at the restaurant where I had breakfast with Gary Sutton. The theme, I tried to come up with a theme each day, and I showed pictures of connecting hearts or connecting hands, shaping hearts. And I thought, you know what? Kindness to strangers is a theme. So there were a number of people sitting around me, and I just was inspired to walk up to them, introduce myself, and tell them what I was doing. And the reactions, it evokes nothing but smiles. You know, sometimes people have a difficult time opening themselves up, maybe feeling vulnerable or connecting with, sometimes even connecting with people they know, let alone strangers. But, you know, I did this at the restaurant, and everyone just had a wonderful time and just was so intrigued by this campaign. And so what we're trying to do is, again, inspire others to do the same with their colleagues, with their friends, with strangers, with family members, anybody, and be creative and post their pictures. And, you know, there's a picture I took with Dr. Jeremy Siegel. He's a well-known author. He's known throughout the world. He wrote Stocks for the Long Run. And we had our annual conference for my wealth advisory practice in Philadelphia. I work for a firm called Janet Montgomery Scott. It's very much a culture of kindness. And Jeremy is a friend of the organization for many years and gives a keynotes at the conference every year. So I took a picture with him. And of course, there's my beautiful dog, Bella. And so I'm trying to spread the love all the way around.
Your dog's name's Bella.
Bella, absolutely. Beautiful Bella.
That's my youngest name. But her full name is Annabella Vittoria because her dad's Italian. But yeah, I call her Bella. It's because of beauty, right? It's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Well, beautiful inside and out. And I think sometimes we overestimate external qualities, physical characteristics. And I would argue that true beauty is within.
Exactly. Yeah.
If we all would just start connecting with hearts, you know, instead of focusing on the external things that don't matter, it's those heart connections that are so powerful. And that's kind of the symbolism of this Heart Hands for Kindness campaign. And so we invite, you know, your audiences and all your viewers and listeners to do the same. It's so simple to do, but so powerful. And when you do it, and this is true about kindness in general, when you perform an act of kindness for others, yes, you're doing a kind act that benefits others, which is wonderful. But you know who it benefits more? Even more so, it benefits the giver of kindness. And there's a science behind it in terms of all the favorable, positive implications of kindness. You know, your health outcomes, you live longer, you're healthier. It reduces the risk of dementia. I mean, the irony is that being kind is not only a selfless thing to do, it's a selfish thing to do if you think about your own well-being. And we all should be doing more of it.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, my next question is, how does economic disparity affect the ability and willingness of individuals and nations to be kind? Because right now you're asking the United Nations, right, and their leaders to say, hey, can we create a culture of kindness? What does that look like in the global scale?
We all need to play our part, and we need to do it at the individual level. We all have the power in our own way to be the reason someone believes in the goodness of people. We can control that, right? But we also need leadership. And we need those who lead by example and lead with kindness. And so the call to action that you saw in my remarks in Palermo, the General Assembly of the World Kindness Movement, is that, you know, we want to elevate kindness to the global shared value that represents all of humanity. And that's kind of where our signature initiative of Kindness Worldwide is proclamations of Kindness Week Worldwide, which is always going to be the Saturday before World Kindness Day to the Saturday after each year. World Kindness Day is always November 13th. We want to elevate kindness. It's 8 days. There's 8 characteristics of kindness. So there's a day symbolically for each characteristic. But, you know, I called on leaders at all levels, all communities, all countries, including every member nation of the United Nations. Can't we at least agree on the need for kindness in our world? You know, let's stop focusing on what divides us. There's plenty of things that we disagree on. We get that. But can't we at least start with the common denominator that we all agree upon, or we should all agree upon, which is kindness? Right. And the United Nations was formed, you know, create peace in our world. We all long for peace in our world. Well, how do we get that? Well, it's leadership from the top. Right. Leading by example. Let's start there. Let's agree on what we agree upon for kindness. You know, and let's hold each other accountable when we see anything otherwise. And so we often think of kindness as well as like this abstract thing. It's a feel good thing. And, you know, we know what it is when we feel it. We also know what it is when we don't. Right. But I think it's important to break it down into its various elements. And I identified 8 characteristics of kindness I alluded to earlier. And what are those characteristics? Well, it's gratitude, patience, forgiveness, empathy and compassion, which I kind of lumped together as one, respect, joy, generosity, and service. And so now, you know, by breaking down the individual elements, look, if someone's not respectful, just being respectful in our discourse. I mean, think about the political rhetoric and think about how we, you know, it's just it, as individual citizens, but also people that we elect to represent us. You know, we got to do better. You know, we all have to do better and we all have a role. Individual citizens have a role, but, you know, our elected officials need to, you know, lift us up and inspire us with visionary leadership and go the extra mile to meet us in the middle, because that's where we are. I mean, our median has a responsibility to look in the mirror like I did to be better and go the extra mile by sharing these positive, uplifting stories and focus. You know, a lot of the news reporting, it divides us. We need to diffuse tensions and not escalate them. And so I call on and welcome the media to look in the mirror like I did and just be a little bit better. It only takes us small incremental improvements to really have huge monumental impacts. We're all citizens of this global community, and we all have a responsibility to, again, to be that reason someone believes in the goodness of people in each and every moment of each and every day. If we each did just that, can you imagine how our world would instantly change? And that's what we're hoping to inspire through this global movement.
That's the ideal world. First of all, Kevin, smile for us. Smile. There you go. That's the kindness that I like, right? Now, here, how do we measure kindness on a global scale, and should we?
Well, we certainly should. You know, how do we measure it? Well, I think there's probably metrics, there's probably ways of measuring positive stories and, you know, getting more out of them. I think positivity begets positivity, and it becomes contagious, self-fulfilling. And look, I'm not an expert at this, but I know there's ways of quantifying positive stories and trying to get more of them. There's other things like one of the elements of Kindness Week Worldwide, a core feature of it is blood donation. It's a very easy thing to symbolically to pay an act of kindness forward. It can literally save and change lives. And so we're trying to inspire blood donation as part of Kindness Week Worldwide. It's also Veterans Day in the United States. It's a great way to show our respect and gratitude for our veterans for their service and the blood they literally shed for the freedoms we enjoy. Well, we can measure if we inspire people in communities, which I know we can, because we've done it in my community of York, Pennsylvania. We've seen it elsewhere. We can have them donate blood, and that can save lives. And we can measure that. We can quantify that. And I think that's an act of kindness. And so I think if we think into new paradigms and think out of the box, instead of the boxes we're often society confines us to, these old paradigms, we got to think differently. And yeah, we can measure it. We can quantify it. There's definitely ways of doing, but we certainly can feel it. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I actually, the reason I asked that, I was smiling because one of the degrees that I want, I have already 4. I wanted one in industrial organizational psychology for PhD, other than my DBA, is that quantitative and qualitative approach to kindness, right? Because as soon as I got you on the radar, I got into hyper-focus and how do we measure kindness? Is there such thing? There is actually in the global index that indicate kindness, right? So global reports like World Happiness Report, I don't know if you've seen those. Yeah. World Happiness Report will have that with generosity, like you said, social support, community well-being, right? World Giving Index, Charities Aid Foundation is one of those as well, right? Money, volunteering time, helping strangers, which United Nations is part. I was one of the United Nations ambassador for women and girls. Social Progress Index, like personal rights, access to education, healthcare, inclusion, all of those things that you were looking at. Those are progress. Global Peace measures a nation's level of peacefulness and conflict resolution. Those are the global indexes that indicate kindness. Behavioral data, actually, on kindness is acts of generosity, just like your story. Volunteering rates, going to SPCA, giving blood, community engagement, which what you're already doing in your video, and helping strangers. And it doesn't have to be viral moments all the time. But I love the people, like what I do on Thursdays and Sundays, is that media yesterday's. Okay, I called it yesterday's because they had more of an oligopoly hold on who could be seen, valued, and heard. However, today's society, we have more power as a content individual creator to spread this word. And that's what I love about my network, is that I can be on Amazon, I can be on Apple, I can be on any types of media, because that was my vision, to be the Netflix of education. I'm slowly getting there. And my mission is to level up the world through education, and education of kindness is one thing that I really love. So thank you for that. Now, while you're actually talking here, I was thinking in my head, I'm like, CJ, what is the framework? What is the framework that Kevin is talking about? I get into academic mode sometimes, and I found four. You ready?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay. The first one is personal kindness, like intrapersonal, right? Being kind to yourself. Like, you probably seen kindness throughout your life and your family and your friends, but having a stranger return your wallet, not only that it sparks it, but it ignited within you on that kindness venture. That's the starting, the foundation of everything. But you also looked at self-compassion, right? Treating yourself with same kindness that others people. Sometimes when we see kindness to others, but we've never seen any kindness to ourselves, it's kind of hard to be kind to others, right? Yeah. So that's what I think. I'm like, okay, personal kindness. The other one is interpersonal kindness, meaning being kind to other people, even if they're unkind to you, right? Showing empathy, generosity, respect, forgiveness, like what you were just saying. I see that as a interpersonal kindness. And then societal kindness, like what you are doing, creating that culture of kindness. So that's your third framework that I'm seeing. Community engagement, justice, fairness. You're actually asking people in the United Nations, hey, be kind to one another, supporting systems that promote equity and well-being for everybody. And ethical leadership is one, using your power of influence to uplift others, not just in the personal gain kind of mode, but for everyone, the community. And I love your ways of talking about altruism versus systemic impact, balancing that individual act of kindness with systemic solutions to things that you might see that's injustice. And then the fourth one that you're talking about, which you're going to be on the 27th, I'm so proud of you, is global kindness on a macro scale, right? Humanitarianism, environmental kindness, cross-cultural understanding, because like you said, different cultures shows and promote kindness differently. But I also would love for you to talk about, which I think you kind of mentioned, is corporate and political responsibility, holding institutions accountable for ethical actions, right? That to me is like, wow, great framework, Kevin. So that's my framework. How do I do?
Oh, you did wonderful. My gosh. I mean, I hope you took notes, sir. I need to write all that down because it was phenomenal. And by the way, your intro, I love your intro, the music. And I mean, the words resonate. I mean, it's so inspiring. I mean, after watching your intro, like, how can anyone not be empowered to just want to take on the world? So, I mean, really kudos to you, but also just what you just outlined. I mean, you touched on it all. And you think about, again, the vision of Kindness Worldwide is to create a culture of kindness in communities throughout the world. Well, what is a community? Well, it's any place where two or more people rely on cooperation and interdependence to thrive. None of us can survive or thrive alone. None of us. We're social beings, right? Well, a community is a home. It's a workplace, a family, it's a school. Could be a city or a town, a state, a country, or a global community that we're all a part of. And so, you know, this vision of creating a culture of kindness, it's also, you know, in our workplaces. I think leading with kindness, visionary leadership, you know, leading with principle and integrity and character. And I've always felt when I was in the corporate world, I had a very successful corporate career the first 12 years after I graduated college. And I always felt that my number one responsibility is to my people, you know, my staff, my team, and bringing out the best in them and making myself expendable, you know, trying to, you know, mentor them and to see the best in them, often that they didn't see themselves. And I think that's what, you know, we all need to do, because we're all leaders in our own way, you know, in our families or workplaces or in some, you know, they're in government. But I think we need to lead by example and set the tone. But it starts with believing in your people. And never underestimating what they can do if you believe in them. Because many of them sometimes doubt themselves. And, you know, we mentioned earlier about self-kindness. Sometimes you're like, our self-talk can be our worst enemy. Look, and I can relate to that. This whole journey of kindness worldwide, I mean, my gosh. I mean, talk about leaving my comfort zone permanently behind. The analogy I use is that we all have fears. You know, sometimes, you know, public speaking is a great fear for people, or just, you know, being on podcast or being on TV doing interviews like we're doing now. All of those things, candidly, were, I was very fearful of, like, and I knew they were coming as part of this movement. And so most people, when you have fear, you run away from them. You try to avoid them. And the analogy I use is that every fear you can imagine, that, you know, things that inhibit me, like I'm running full speed, dead, you know, right at it. And the only way you become fearless is to confront your fears and get comfortable being uncomfortable. But it gets into like, I've got to lead by my example. I've got to walk the talk. I can't just talk about kindness. Again, I can't control what other people do, but I can't control my own behaviors and my own actions. And I hope that I can lead by my example, inspire others to hopefully follow my lead. But that's how anyone in the corporate world, the business world, that's how our elected officials or those in the United Nations. I mean, that's how we all should lead. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that and we get away from that. We get distracted by the things that often don't matter and we lose sight of the things that do. And those little things are the big things in the scheme of things.
Yeah, I feel like the world is on ADHD. I'm sorry to say that. I have ADHD. So it's like the world is like, oh, we're working about this. Oh, but we're talking about this. And then at the end of the day, it's like, okay, what did you accomplish again? Nothing. Nothing. Yeah, that's what I think. Mike, I want to actually look at this because I'm glad that you brought this up, Mike, because I actually looked at the World Giving Index. This is a 2024 World Giving Index. And Indonesia actually is the most generous country globally for the 7th consecutive years. Okay, Indonesia. And then number 2 is Kenya. Number 3 is Singapore. Number 4 is the Gambia, and number 5 is Nigeria. Does that tell you anything? Exactly. United States, where are you? It's not there. And we give a lot. So I wonder now, what is the criteria of Charities Aid Foundation? Like, what are the criteria of world giving? Because I know monetarily wise, we give a lot in the US, right? But what is the criteria of the World Giving Index? That I have not looked. But it says Gallup World Poor Survey, 145,000 people across 140 countries. Hey, I almost admit that. I'm on 135 countries in my podcast. Anyhow, ADHD moment. The 2024 report highlights that 4.3 billion people worldwide engage in giving behaviors. So happy to report, Kevin, we're halfway there. We're halfway there. There's 8 billion and 4 billion are giving. So I love that. Like helping strangers, donating money, volunteering time. I know when I was in high school, I actually could barely speak English when I came here in 92, 93. And I think sophomore year, my second year, I had 1,000 volunteered hours that the mayor of my city gave me the city key. And I was in the hospitals, I was in the old folks' home, like they were so lonely, grandparents, and I miss my grandparents. I would read to them, write them letters, encourage my friends to write them letters on Mother's Day, Father's Day, you know, all the holidays, because all of these people don't have families anymore. And I didn't know, like, I don't know why I love volunteering, but then I figure out my grandmother, she used to volunteer all the time in the villages in the Philippines. So I said, okay, that's where I have. And when you say upbringing, I'm like, yep, it either pushes you to good or bad, but it's there. It's a foundation. I love it. Oh my gosh, Kevin, we are having great conversation. I don't want it to end. Okay. Like what? I have more questions. Okay. So I have second to the last questions. Okay. This, why do some individuals like yourself or nation show intense kindness to outsiders while neglecting their own people? Let me explain. You know how many people in America ask for donations, like $21 a month, $15 a month? I sure did, because I fed a village one time, right, for years. But when you look at your own neighborhood, there's so many kids that needs help. So I started switching my monetary giving to time giving in my neighborhood, who kids who can't speak English and read or write. And I'm pretty good with math, I can say that. And I help them with math and reading homework. And I can understand their plight because English is my seventh language. And so when I have to convert English in my head, it's the seventh times I have to do sometimes, right? So when they're frustrated and they said, hey, it's really hard for me, Miss Leland, actually at that time it's Miss Chua. That's my maiden name is Chua, Chinese last name. I don't understand English at all. It's really hard for me. And my teacher says that I'm stupid. Like one kid said that. What is stupid means? And that hurt me because we judge people and these are like, we're talking 9 years old, right? And if they found the definition of stupid and they ingrained that, that this country is supposed to be a land of opportunity for me, but yet I'm called stupid, how is that going to form their foundation, right? So we need to be kind within our communities rather than look outside all the time, right? So that is my take on that. What about you?
Well, words matter. And especially when we're younger, we're very impressionable. And, you know, words that were shared many, many years ago can have a profound impact on someone years later, positive or negative. So think about affirmation, you know, like, you know, just saying, look, someone says, I believe in you. Very, very powerful. Or someone says you can versus someone says you can't. Right. I mean, all of those things are important. And I think we also need to be aware as we get older about, you know, we have the power of words, too. What we say to a child or a student or anyone, you know, especially the younger generation, can have an impact that we often don't realize. And so just being aware of that power of words is so very important. But also, you touched on this, too, is if you think about the hierarchy of needs. Right. The top is self-actualization. It's all interest. It's all about being the best version of yourself, you know, reaching your peak potential. But it starts with the basics. You got to have the foundation. You know, you got to have food, shelter, clothing, you know, friends, you know, all that. And it builds to, you know, the top. But at the end of the day, you got to have that foundation at its core or the pyramid is going to collapse. Or it's like you can't build a house on sand. You got to have that solid foundation. And so as individuals, and sometimes we lose sight of this, you know, we got to take care of ourselves. You know, we got to be healthy. We got to be kind to ourselves. We got to have positive self-talk, affirmative words. We got to take care of our family, you know, our friends. And then you broaden the network. But sometimes if you focus so much external at the expense of that foundation, that inner core, that inner network, yourself, your family, then eventually you may get away with initially, but then it all crumbles, falls apart. But I think for those that are blessed enough to ultimately be at that peak that we all strive for, self-actualization, best version of yourself you can be, I can kind of relate to this myself, is that I think that there's a new pyramid that starts, and it's like upside down, and it goes outward. And it's, it becomes, because the hierarchy of needs that we think of traditionally is all self-centered. But then it becomes external. It's about what can I do for others? What can I do for my, starting with my family, your friends, my colleagues, my community, my state, my country, then the world is at the other extreme. But I think you can't get there until you take care of the basics, you know, and it starts with taking care of yourself or your own community, and then you work from there.
I love that it takes on its own heads. I like that it takes on its own heads, and hopefully it will, like, the foundation is laid out strong enough that they don't kind of sway away where it needs to be. Oh my gosh, I don't want this conversation to end, but it does have to end. And I'm loving this because it makes me think, like, when there's a discussion for ADHD people out there, you can relate, okay? When there's a discussion and it is so interesting to me, I get deep into the conversation and I get to do the research mode and how can we solve, like, it's always that solution oriented thing. And then when I reflect on it, I'm like, oh, I already lived the kindness world because I've always done that, right? When we had families that didn't have anything, my grandmother used to just let them be there. She would put kids to college who don't have anyone. And some people are so poor that they throw their kids literally you just leave them in the ocean, like right there on the, you know, and the kids just running around with no parents. And so my grandma would pick them and feed them in my house because we had a farm. And so I've always seen that world. It's never ending for me in my head, but I'm like, wow, I'm in a different world. And my grandmother used to tell me, kindness goes a long way. Being kind to others is what you need to fulfill in life because you have enough. God will always give you enough, right? So it's so crazy. And thank you for this conversation. So I'm going to ask you the last question of the day. Are you ready?
Here we go.
All right. Has nothing to do with the world of kindness, but more personal level. Mm-hmm. If this is your last day today on this earth, this is your last legacy being on this show, what would be your parting message to your current and future families? I'm talking about great, 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 great grandkids in terms of living life, legacy, and impact.
I love that question. Well, I think we should all strive in each moment and every interaction to be the reason someone believes in the goodness of people. And the hope would be is that same hope I have for them is the hope I have for myself, is that we're all born with a purpose. And I believe, I'd like to think that whenever I depart this earth and my life is over and has ended, that I will have left this world a little bit better because I lived it than had I had not. And if everyone had that mindset, you know, those who, you know, family and so on, just to be the best version of yourself. And that, to do that, in my view, you've got to be the best for others and really be that reason for them, you know, be that reason someone believes in the goodness of people. So that would be, you know, my thoughts.
You hear that, Kevin Smith's great, great grandkids? I hope so, because this video will live forever, I'm telling you. And for all of the 67,000 people on YouTube that subscribe to us, thank you guys so much. But as both Christians, I have something that I wanted to share. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Another one I wanted to share is Titus, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. And then the last one is Proverbs 11:17. A man or woman who is kind benefits himself or herself, but a cruel man hurts himself, right? So think about that as a reflection. When you're actually trying to hate on someone, or you're trying to be righteous in someone, or I'm going to get you, you're actually not hurting them. You're actually hurting yourself. Because when you're in that negative mode, your body actually reacts to that. Your own dopamine, it's like injecting black blood, like all this red and all the just nonsense that's in your body and your spirit. So be kind to yourself and be kind to others is what we're trying to say. Any last minute thing before we end today?
Well, I would just say that my story, which is really our story, it's proof that no act of kindness is too small to make a difference and change a life, and that anyone can make a lasting impact. And I would argue even change the world through kind actions. Why not you? And I would argue and hope and challenge and inspire, why not us?
That's right. And then if you guys need to get a hold of Kevin, this is Kevin's LinkedIn. It's been going around. It's -A0040A19. Kevin's going to change that. So just Kevin Smith soon. Okay. But for now, it is what it is. Thank you guys so much for being here. I appreciate you so much. And Kevin, can you wait for just maybe even a minute? And I will be right there. All right, guys, that was such an amazing conversation. I hope you guys had an amazing day, night, evening, and wonderful. So 600 of you still stayed in here from YouTube. Thank you guys so much. And I will see you tomorrow.
Are you a curious student, eager to learn new skills and make your mark in the world? Are you a professional seeking to advance your career and unlock your full potential? You need to be equipped with effective soft skills like communication, problem solving, teamwork, and more. The Level Up Academy by Doc Leland bridges the gap between education and employment through transferable skills training. get the soft skills you need to be more effective at work.
Bye, guys.